Pasuk says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayhi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'teisha Shanim, Vayara Hashem el Avram, so he was 99 years old, Hashem appeared to Avram, Vayomer lo, ani kel shakai, hisalek lefanai v'eya samim. So Hashem introduces himself as kel shakai. What does that mean, kel shakai? Rashi says, ani hu sheyesh dai be'elohusi, l'chol birya. I have enough bandwidth for everybody. Every birya, I have enough space for everyone. Ulefikach hishalich lefanai, v'eya l'cha le'eloah ulepatron. And therefore, we should be engaged in this relationship. You, hishalich lefanai, serve me, do what I ask you to do, and I will be for you a God. V'chein kol mocham shu b'mikra perusho kach, dai shelo. That's what Rashi says. So the Ramban, commenting on this pasuk, says, first source on the sheet here, El Shakai, Shnei Shemos Kol Echad Toar Le'atzmo. So the Shem of Hashem, of Kel Shakai, is really two different names, two different definitions, or two different descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perush El is Takif. The word El means strength, force. Miloshon Elei Moav, which means the strong ones of Moav. That's what El means. El means strong. And Dai, Perush Shaddai, Rashi says, Shaddai be'elohusi l'chol birya. So it would be the very, very strong deity who also has bandwidth for everybody. Meaning he has space for everyone. He could be the God. He has no limitations. He could be the God for everyone. Ubesefer Mor Nevuchim, Pirei Sharaf, the Rambam gives a different explanation. Sheinu tzarech b'mitziuso, mashenim tzav, v'lo v'kiyum mitziuso. That El Shaddai is a name that reflects the fact that Hashem's existence is not dependent on anybody else or anything else. He's a God who is die. He's enough with himself. Meaning, if everything in the world would cease to exist, God would continue to exist. Because his existence is not dependent on anything else. As opposed to the opposite, that if God would somehow cease to exist, so then the world would cease to exist, because the existence of the world is dependent on God. As the Rambam writes this in the very beginning of Yesod HaTorah, he thinks this is a very foundational understanding that a person has to have about the nature of God, that his existence is completely independent of everything that is in existence, but that everything that exists is dependent on God. He calls that the Mechuyev HaMetzius. He is the necessity. He is the necessary force in existence. So the Rambam learns that philosophic understanding. That's what the name Kel Shakai is. He is enough. He's alone. Dai. He's enough unto himself. So two interpretations so far. Then the Ramban says Rabbi Avram Pirshu, but Rabbi Avram, who's the Rabbi Avram, the Ibn Ezra explains B'shem Hanagid, in the name of Rav Shmuel Hanagid, early Spanish Rishon, that it's Migzeras Shoded. So we internally assume that Shaddai comes from the word Dai, which means enough. Either it meant that Hashem has enough space for everyone, he can have a relationship with everyone, or that he himself is self-sufficient, he's dai. The Rambam says it comes from a totally different word, because both of those words, she, dai, that the real word is dai, and it's that is enough, she, dai. The Rambam learns that it, actually the word, the shin, is not a prefix, she, dai, but it's part of the word, shadai, it's one word. And it comes from the word shodade, which means a pirate, or somebody who overpowers others. Klomar, he's minatzeach umishodeid ma'arochos hashamayim. It's a name that symbolizes the fact that Hashem sometimes muscles out or overpowers the system of nature that he created. Meaning that Hashem sometimes acts beyond the system of nature. And the Ramban says, I think this is the right pshat. Many times the Ramban argues with the Ibn Ezra. Here, he likes it. He says, Zeh nachon, ki hi midas ha-gvura, menhages ha-olam, shiomru bo ha-chachamim, midas ha-din shalmata. V'tam lahazkir ata zeh Hashem. Why is it that this name is mentioned now, that Hashem tells Avram, oh, by the way, I am El Shaddai. Ki bo yasa nisim anastarim letzadikim. Because this is the name that symbolizes overpowering the system of nature. This is the name that Hashem, Kaviyachol, uses when he does the nisim nistarim for tzadikim. Hidden miracles for tzadikim. What does that mean, hidden miracles? So we know that there are overt miracles. Those rarely happen, like a few times in history, splitting the sea. So that's an overt miracle. You, no one can see that miracle and think, oh, maybe it's nature. So we have overt miracles, nisim gluyim, and we have nisim nistarim. Nisim nistarim mean hidden miracles, miracles that are not perceptible to the outside observer that there's a miracle going on here, because they're miracles that are consistent with the system of nature as we know it. So, for instance, the Hatzel Mimavas Nafsham. You know, if you've ever seen a good war movie, especially about World War II, so, or World War I, meaning the movies they have about World War I, World War II, you know, think like Saving Private Ryan. So, you know, anyone who landed on the beach in Normandy, I think that's where that scene is in the beginning, anyone who landed on the beach in Normandy, you see in the movie, it makes it very clear that, like, the chances of one person surviving as opposed to the guy next to him were, at least for the outside observer, it was just like luck. You're like, they're just charging down the beach, and this guy's getting picked off, you know, and he's like running, and the guy on his right gets shot, and the guy on his left gets shot, and then this guy gets blown up, and, you know, the chances of just surviving is just, it's luck, you know, one in five survived. And if Hashem is saving you, so it's not a perceptible miracle that you got saved. You know, out of the 100,000 people who landed on the beach, so 20,000 of them survived. This guy got picked off, this guy picked off. You're just running like a crazy chicken without a head on across the sand and hoping that you don't take a bullet. It's not skill, per se, that's one guy's getting shot next to not the next guy. So the Nisim Nistar, when Hashem goes and he saves someone, L'chayosim b'rav, l'ftosim b'milchama miyad cherev, k'chol ha'nisim anasim l'avram ul'avos. The Ramban here tells us the Yisod, that the miracles that took place to Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, at least the ones that are described in the Chumash, you never see these supernatural miracles. The miracles that happened to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, you know, Avram, again, we're not talking about what Chazal say, that the fight against the kings was just, you know, him and Eliezer on their own, you know, just decimating like an entire army. The way that it's presented in the Chumash is that there was a war and he had been successful. Every war, one side is successful. It's not a miracle that one side wins a war. U'kichol ha'boim b'torah parshas v'chukosai, u'parshas v'yaki savo, brachos u'klolos, kulim nisim heim. So the Torah tells us in b'chukosai, in b'chukosai teilechu, if you follow my ways, so then I'm going to give you rain at the right time, and your wife won't be barren, and you'll have prosperity. All of those miracles are natural miracles. A very high percentage of people, their wives are not barren. There's a certain percentage of people that their businesses are successful. And if it happens to rain, you know, if you live in the middle of the Sahara Desert, so it's not so common to rain, but if you live in an area that has rainy seasons, so the fact that the rain comes at the right times and your crops are successful, that doesn't necessarily look miraculous. So he writes, but these are nisim. Why? Ki ein min ha-teva shi'evo ha-gesham bi'itam ba'avodeinu ha-elokim. Because there's nothing natural about prosperity being the result of you serving God. Meaning, the reason I should be prosperous, seemingly, al-pi derech ha-teva, is because I went to a good business school, I got some good information from someone about an industry that's about to blow up, and this is a great time to get into that industry. Those are the reasons why someone's successful in business. And yet, Hashem tells us that if you put on tefillin, and you daven, and you avoid non-kosher, so his promise to us is that we're going to experience all of these brachos. That's not nature. if a person is living in a place where, based on the precipitation in the air and all the other weather conditions, it shouldn't rain, but he needs rain in the next 2 days in order for his crops to survive, and he davens, and he puts on tefillin, and he does mitzvos, and Hashem decides to bring the rain. Now, we obviously realize this is not just like you do the mitzvah, and then automatically Hashem brings the rain. There are many other cheshbonos. There are many other calculations that Hashem has to make. But if we would do mitzvos, and because of those mitzvos, Hashem would decide, you know what, I'm going to bring the rain. So we realize that that's miraculous. And if the atmospheric conditions are not in place for it to rain, and yet it rains anyway because Hashem works things out to make it rain, that's miraculous. Why is it miraculous? Because it's not based on the natural system, and yet it's something that doesn't contradict the system of nature, meaning it's something that's mistader in nature, because rain, right, if God made a tree grow in your backyard that had money on it, so that would go against nature. This is something that is not a product of nature, because the natural conditions were that it wouldn't rain, but it's something that's consistent with nature, at least to the naked eye. And that's what he calls Nisim Nistarim. That's what he says happened to all the Avos. It's not natural that it won't rain, that the skies will be like Barzel, which means that they won't sweat. Metal doesn't sweat. So they don't sweat the heavens because we planted in the seventh year. We didn't keep the laws of Shemitah. If you think about it, all of the promises in the Torah, the ones that are promises about physical things, that's not natural. That if we follow Hashem's ways, He'll take care of us. If we're honest in business, so Hashem will help our business be successful. That's not natural, although no one can look at it and say it's a miracle, because there are a percentage of people that are successful in business. Aval kulam nisim ubekulam tinatseach marechos hamazalos. So on the one hand, these are all miracles, because in all of these situations, Hashem is overriding the system of nature. That's going to be the name, Shaddai. He's Shodaid. He overpowers the system of nature. But on the other hand, there's no change from the regular natural minog shel olam. It looks like regular nature. Kenisim shenasu yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. It's certainly not like the nisim of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Eser Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Mon, the Be'er. Those were all against nature. Shem mofsim mishanim hateva bepirsum. Those are things that change nature. Miracles, mofsim, miracles that change nature, bepirsum, in a very public way. Veheim shiyasu b'shem amiyuchad asher higidlo. And those are going to be done with the special name of Hashem that Hashem will tell him. Who's him? Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the background to understanding the pasuk in the very beginning of our parsha. The beginning of the parsha, the pasuk says, Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe, Vayomer Elov Ani Hashem, Vo'iro el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov b'Kel Shakai. I revealed myself to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the name of Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati bohem. But the shame of Yudkei Vavkei, they never knew. So the Ramban here picks up on the theme that we saw already back in Sefer Bereishis. V'inyan HaKosuf, says the Ramban. The pshat here. Kinira la'avos b'shem hazeh shu menatzech marchos ha'shamayim v'lasos imam nisim gedolim. Shalon is batal mehem min hagolam. The name that I used with the Avos, the relationship I had with them, was one where I was menatzeach marachos hashamayim. I overpowered, or I went above or beyond the systems of nature, in order to do with them big miracles. They were indeed very big, but they were not mevatel min hagolam. They didn't go against. They were consistent with nature as we see nature. Birov pada osam mimaves. So during a famine, I sustained them. During a war, I saved them from the sword. I blessed them with prosperity by Avram, by Yitzchak, by Yaakov. And this is the same mechanism that we find by all the brachos and klolos that Hashem promises that He will give them, give us, not only the Avos, that He will give us success and help us. if we follow the Torah, and klolos if we don't follow the Torah. Ki lo tovo al adam tovo b'schar mitzvah o rab onesh aver rak b'maisa nes. Because if you think about it, there's no way to say that Hashem gives us bracha, that it's a mimon of shach. If it was supposed to rain anyway, then it wasn't because I did a mitzvah. And if it was supposed to not rain, then it wasn't because I did an avera. If it's because I did a mitzvah, now you might say, what do you mean? Now you did a mitzvah, so Hashem worked out nature. Correct, that's exactly the point. He wasn't going to work out nature beforehand. Now that you did a mitzvah, Hashem works out the nature in order to get you the rain. But that's exactly what the Ramban's point is. That is a nace. Why is it a nace? Because if we would have just let nature run, it was not going to rain. Because you did a mitzvah, Hashem now wants it to rain for you. So He works out using the channels of nature in order to get the rain to you. He doesn't just bring a rain cloud miraculously right over your house and make it rain. That would be obvious. There's no rain clouds in the whole sky. Right over your house, there's just rain. So Hashem works out the atmospheric pressure and all the other conditions in order to make sure that it rains. But it's something that He wouldn't have done otherwise. So that's called the Maisa Neis. One second. V'im yunach adam l'tivo olim mazolo lo yosifu bo maisav davar v'lo yigru mimenu. Because indeed, if we leave a person just purely to nature, so then your actions won't add anything, and your averos won't take away anything. The idea that we believe that there's some type of divine intervention in the world, and that if we do the right thing, so Hashem helps us out, not always, obviously, because, as we said, there are many other factors, but in general, that if we do what we're supposed to do, Hashem promises that He will help us out. I mean, we even say it in Kriya Shema every day. And that if we don't, so Hashem will bring upon us suffering. So all of that assumes that there's some type of interaction into nature. And if there's an interaction into nature, that's already a nace. That's what the definition of a nace is. Aval schar kol ha-Torah v'on shabolam hazeh ha-kol nisim. So indeed, anytime you get schar in this world, meaning schar in the next world, so that's not an issue. Schar in the next world, so Hashem will work that out in the next world. But if Hashem is ever going to give us schar in this world, then He promises that He will. So that's nisim v'heim nistarim. Yechashev b'hem laroim shumin hago shalolam. A person sees it, it appears to him that this is just nature. Why, this guy gets all the luck. This guy gets all the luck. V'heim ba'adam onesh v'schar b'emes. But in reality, it's really schar and onesh. U'mibnei zeh tarich ha-Torah bi'yeudim shabolam hazeh. And this is the reason why the Torah is marich. It spends a lot of time telling us in Parshas Chukosai, if you listen to my words, so then you'll get X, Y, and Z. V'im b'chukosai timasu, and if you despise my words and you don't follow them, so it also has a list of things that will happen. V'lo tivar yu'udei ha-nefesh bi'olam ha-neshamos. But you'll note that nowhere in the Torah is there any discussion about olam haba. This is a famous question that's always asked. Why is there no Olam Haba discussed? Why isn't there any discussion in the Torah about the future reward? Ki elu movsim ukineged hatoledes. That's because anything that has to do any schar that we're going to get in this world is something which needs to be explained. So he says something which is, from a certain perspective, a little bit counterintuitive. You don't really need to explain schar and olam haba, because that's actually very intuitive. If I told you that God has a relationship with people, and that if you do good, so God will reward you. Now, if God's rewarding me, that's something miraculous, because I exist in a world of teva. Where is it very understandable that there will be some divine, amazing, miraculous reward in some future existence, because it's not natural here in this world. But who knows what's in the next world? So if you tell me that if you do mitzvos, so in the next world, you're going to get lots of schar and you're going to get olam haba. Okay, olam haba, I might not understand it, how it works, but that makes sense to me. But to tell me that I'm going to get schar in this world, that actually needs more explanation, because the world as we perceive it is a world of nature. So that's what he's saying here. That mofsim elu means these rewards in this world, those are kineged toledus, those are against nature. But kiyum ha-nefesh v'dovka b'elokim, the idea that our soul exists, continues to exist after death, and that there's some type of union with God after existence, okay, that actually is something that I can accept, because it doesn't go against my perception of, if I believe in another world, my perception of it is that it's miraculous. It's not bound by the natural laws of this world. So you don't need to prove to me that things there can go against nature in this world, because that whole existence is against the nature of this world. It's not. It's miraculous. Specifically, if you're trying to explain schar in this world, that's davar roi b'toledes kiyum ha-nefesh. He toshav elokim asher nasna. I understand that in that existence, I'm going to go back to that reality. The Oda Farish Zem Gomer Hashem Alai. And Mirza Hashem, he says, I hope to talk about this more, and he does. He speaks about this when he speaks about Kares and losing the future existence. He speaks about that. Okay. This is actually, I know I put it on your Makor sheet, but here he actually gives another interpretation. And maybe we'll leave it for now, because I'd like to get to Shir. And what we read now is the main point that I wanted us to see. So that's how he understands the pasuk. The Shem Hashem, though, and here he doesn't finish, he's going to get to it later in his parish, but we'll just finish off what he began. What he basically argued until now is that the Shem of Kel Shakai was the name that he used when he interacted with the Avos. Because the Avos, like us, any divine intervention is always done al pi derech hateva. However, he's about to introduce the shame of Yudke Vavke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's going to be the name that Hashem uses, not where he just overpowers nature in the sense that he manipulates nature, but the miracles that are going to occur in Mitzrayim are not manipulations of nature, but they are actual negations of nature. The splitting of the sea, the 10 plagues, the mon, the be'er, these things in the desert, these are miracles that are nisim gluyim. And those stem from a different hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the name of Kel Shakai, which is his ability to work within the system and manipulate things, but rather it's something that completely negates the system. And those are miracles that are overt, and that's what's going to be the nature of miracles that express themselves in Mitzrayim. And that's this introduction here, that Hashem is basically telling Moshe Rabbeinu that what you and I are about to do is something that's never been seen before in existence. And it's going to be using an Ahagav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yudkei Vavkei, that I never before, and not too much after, I'm ever going to be using again. Okay, this concept of Nisim Nistarim is something that, as you go through the Perush of the Ramban, you'll see it's a major, major theme in the Ramban. This distinction between Nisim Nistarim and Nisim Gluyim. And in a certain sense, Nisim Nistarim is just another way of speaking about Hashgacha Pratis, of divine providence, divine intervention. And that's a major theme in the Ramban's writings. Okay.